Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante. He is Chris Buchanani. Chris, first and foremost, have you thawed out yet, my friend?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I'm being honest here. The cold really doesn't bother me all that much, Jim, and it definitely did not bother me much this past Saturday.
And it didn't bother approximately 106,000 of your friends. And you know what, Chris? I'm starting to call it the Chris Buchanani factor. All the talk leading up to this game last week was, where were the fans? Were they going to show up? How many empty seats were we going to have? But you were the guy who challenged the Penn State fans, said, get out there, layer up, come out enthusiastic. That's what they did, Chris. That is the power you, my friend, have over the Penn State fan base.
Okay, well, Jim, well, just like the Big Ten has all of its positional of the year awards shared between two last names, like, you know, Tyler Warren won the Clark Kwolek Award for tight end of the year this year. We're going to call it the Horn Buchanani Award because I got to give equal credit to my obligatory co-host, Kevin Horn. I think we can pat ourselves on the back for having done the yeoman's work of shaming potentially as many as dozens of Penn State fans into changing their plans and coming into Happy Valley. I am guaranteeing that not a single one of them regretted it. But for real, we both got some personal messages saying, hey, you know, guys, I wasn't going to do this. And then I heard you on whatever platform, you shamed me into it. I was actually out downtown on Friday night. I had strangers, Jim, come up to me and say, you talked me into it. So kudos to every single fan who made the trip. I think we actually probably benefited from some of the dope Pittsburgh reporters predicting that there's going to be like 65 or 75,000 people. Then that got picked up nationally. And of course, nobody does any research into who they're retweeting. So they're just, Pennsylvania reporters are saying there will only be 70,000 people at Beaver Stadium on Saturday. So they set the bar so unbelievably low that when the Christmas miracle happened, as I kind of assumed it would, and we packed that place to the gills and we had great energy, whiteout energy in Beaver Stadium for the first home playoff game ever, you know, everybody was blown away by it. And we got a lot of nice flowers nationally afterwards. So yeah, just a great, great weekend for Penn State University, for its athletics program, and for the state college community. And I just want to shout out before we talk any more football, Katie Schumacher-Colley, a national champion as a player under the legendary Russ Rose, has the unenviable task of replacing a legend here at Penn State as a head coach, is battling through all kinds of adversity as she fights cancer. And I think she's going to kick cancer's butt just as much as Penn State, while up Nebraska and Louisville on their way to her first national championship. And I do say her first, as the head coach here at Penn State, the first woman to ever do it. Amazing. Awesome. One of the greatest weekends in Penn State history.
That exactly. We both were watching it. National championship for the women in volleyball. And Chris, what was also pretty cool was they beat Louisville at Louisville, in Louisville, yeah, on their home court. And that was exciting. And guess what? Our colleague, Dustin Schutte, Big Ten Sports Illustrated writer, he was there for the event.
Yeah, that's so awesome. And for as great and thrilling as the national championship match was, it didn't hold a candle to what Penn State had to do coming back down 2-0, which is paradoxically right where Penn State wants you in women's volleyball, and trailing 22-16 in the fourth set versus Nebraska. Really, just an incredible job, an incredible story, and to have it within the context of what happened inside Beaver Stadium on Saturday and the environment and the electricity that we had here in Happy Valley all weekend, just awesome, awesome. This is why you do it when you experience any frustration or let down as a Penn State fan, it's moments like this that you're chasing. And we got one. And we, as Penn State fans, get more of them more frequently than almost any college fan base in the country. So don't take them for granted. We're living in the good times right now.
And appreciate the moment. I think you and I have had that discussion before. Appreciate the fun of it. It was, and we mentioned this on the show last week. I don't know if you recall, we were talking about tailgating. You said you were going to stay warm, going to have the hot chocolate drinks. I stopped by. You provided the drink. Fantastic. Warmed me up, Chris. Felt good. You called it. Great job with the tailgating. The fans were exceptional at the game also. The enthusiasm was there. The cold didn't dampen at all. And nobody left, Chris. I half expected 28-0 at halftime, a mass exodus. There wasn't. The fans stuck around, which I thought was also equally impressive.
Yeah, people hung around until really about midway through the fourth quarter. You started to see some people leave, but there was a majority still there when we sang the alma mater at the end, just to be part of the moment. Watch James Franklin get his 100th win as Penn State's head coach. Really cool for him to hit that milestone in such a significant win for the program and the school and for him as a head coach. Really, really awesome. Man, I just can't say enough about it. And I hope wherever you were, however you were watching it or experiencing it, you did it with people who share your passion for the team and the school. And just don't take it for granted, folks. We're going to keep this thing rolling. That's one down, three to go. But don't lose the joy of the moment in looking ahead. Just be present and appreciate how cool all of this is right now.
Live in the moment. And Chris, we will get into some of the details of the game, but what I also wanted to hit you up on was it started with Indiana losing badly, playing poorly, and then three of the four games were routes dominated by the home team. And what I hate is that narrative has taken over from what I think should be the big story about this was home playoff games.
Yeah.
We were there to witness Penn State hosting a playoff game. The atmosphere was fantastic. The night before, it's Indiana at Notre Dame. You know, it pains me to ever, ever, ever compliment anything that has to do with Notre Dame.
Likewise.
Their fans were tremendous. It was a fantastic environment. Chris, why did it take this long to have home playoff games? College football, these venues are iconic. Again, last thing in the world I want to do is compliment anything to do with the Buckeyes. The Horseshoe in Columbus. And it was even fun there. Tennessee trying to take over the stadium and the things they did to get their people in there. Chris, that is the environment that makes college football so special. We got to, by being there in State College for this game, got to witness it. That is what college football is all about. It's what you and I were talking about before the season started. This is what was going to make this playoff setup special.
Yeah, no question. I think you're right that some of the strength of schedule discourse has overwhelmed appreciating not only what was a really cool and unique spectacle, which is what separates college football from all the other major American sports, but also, you know, regardless of what you think about how the games turned out, and listen, that's going to happen sometimes. Clearly, home field is going to be a factor in these games. Weather is going to be a factor, as people predicted. And sometimes you just got to have blowouts. There were plenty of blowouts in the four-team playoff. There are blowouts in the NFL playoffs. These things happen. But as college football expanded its postseason this year, we saw the same effect that has occurred in professional sports when the playoffs have expanded, that more fan bases were engaged in more games for a longer period of time. And I think that's healthy for the sport. There was some concern that the regular season was going to be cheapened by the expanded playoffs. And I know for some absolute purists, they still believe that it was. But I think writ large, when I look at the engagement you saw across the board in college football, and again, just the number of fan bases who were still dialed in come late October into November, I think it's a win overall for the health of the sport.
Chris, there was 10 years of the four-team college football playoffs, 10 years of it, which meant there was the potential for 40 different teams or 40 slots over the last 10 years. Do you know how many different teams played in the 10 years of 14 playoff?
I used to. There are a couple of one-offs like Cincinnati and Michigan State, but a bunch of those spots are sucked up by Oklahoma and Ohio State and Alabama. I want to say it's like a dozen or something like that.
A grand total in 10 years of 15.
Okay. Yeah.
And as you pointed out, there was a handful of the one-offs. 10 years, 15 programs got a chance. 10 years, 15. Now I'll give you the easy question. This year in the 12-team playoff, how many teams got a chance to be in the playoffs? Well, and then follow that up with who's buried in Grant's tomb. 12 teams in one, 12 different teams got to say they were a playoff team and experience a playoff game, Chris.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, all the complaints, and we'll argue it another day, but SMU, Arizona State, Boise State, they are all, Indiana, are all going to have experienced a playoff game. That's a good thing for college football.
Yeah, and Indiana just had their greatest season in program history. And it didn't end the way they wished it would, but it got to end in a primetime game against Notre Dame where they had a chance to advance and chase a national championship in football. I can't complain, in my opinion.
No, not at all. It was special. It was fantastic. All right, Chris, when we get back, we're going to have a conversation about the actual game. We'll do that when we come back. With the postseason now coming into focus, excitement is building for a Nittany Lion appearance in the college football playoffs. Now's the time to start thinking of how to make your travel arrangements should the team advance to the playoffs to be held at four major bowl destinations over the New Year's holiday: LA, Phoenix, New Orleans, and Atlanta. Get in on all the playoff action with an all-inclusive bowl game travel package brought to you by State College-based Collegiate Athletic Travel, a national leader in sports fan travel for over 50 years. CAT's air-inclusive packages feature round-trip charter, air transportation from select Pennsylvania cities, deluxe hotel accommodations, airport and game transfers, pre-game meal and entertainment events, as well as game tickets, all under the supervision of CAT's seasoned event staff. Traveling on your own can still get in on the playoff action by selecting a land-only package that includes all features exclusive of air travel. Visit athletictravel.com in the coming days for complete details.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Chris Buchanani. It's quarter number two of our show. And you know what, Chris? Mentioned it briefly in quarter number one. Obviously, there was the great game. There was also the tailgating. No matter how cold it is, tailgating is such a part of college football. The tough thing, though, is when you go on the road, what do you do about tailgating? I've got the solution for you, my friend. The solution. It's called tailgateconnect.com. They set up tailgates. When you're on the road, you get to tailgate with the locals, with the other team's fans. It's a fantastic setup. You pay one fee, you eat, you drink. Hey, me and my buddy Andrew from 409 Tailgate, we actually did this. We were hosts at Penn State football games. But there is a host for the Fiesta Bowl. So if you're heading out to Arizona for Penn State, Boise State, check in at tailgateconnect.com. They have a tailgate set up close to the stadium. The location, they have the best margaritas in Arizona, I'm told. Got to check that out. Is that not worth it, Chris?
It's a pretty compelling sales pitch to most Penn Staters, I imagine.
I would think so. And also a taco bar. So, hey, doesn't get any better than that. And if you go to tailgateconnect.com, check it out, the Fiesta Bowl. There's a place, if you purchase tickets for the tailgate, there's a code that you could put in. Put in code Keystone, and you'll get a discount also. That gets even better, Chris. All right. Let's talk about this actual game itself, because it was interesting in a couple ways. First of all, the weather. It was cold in the mid-20s, wind chill down into the teens. How big an effect did it have on the game?
I think, honestly, probably a marginal effect, but not a non-zero effect, because clearly SMU was out of sorts in that environment. They had not played in a stadium of that size or in front of a crowd of that level of intensity. And I think when you then add the fact that they were practicing in shorts and t-shirts all week and lumped that on top of all the other adversity they were facing, not to mention the fact that the talent level of Penn State was just noticeably higher than SMU's, I think it was just one of the several factors that stacked to really weigh that team down on. I think probably looking at these playoff games with you had Notre Dame and Penn State and Ohio State all playing in cold weather conditions, I would say it was probably most impactful in the Ohio State-Tennessee game, and probably least, I would think, for Notre Dame and Indiana, because Hoosiers, majority of those kids are at least from areas around where they've experienced that kind of weather. So I would put Penn State right in the middle.
Hmm. Yeah, and Indiana, of course, was practicing in that kind of weather all week, right, too. I also got the impression you could combine it all, the cold weather, the size of the stadium, the noise of the fans. I got the feeling that it was a moment that may have been just a little bit too big, specifically for the SMU quarterback, if not the whole team.
Yeah, and again, I give tremendous credit to the fans. They made the whiteout work. People figured out how to layer clothing or put a garbage bag. I actually heard from a friend of mine who was sitting elsewhere in the stadium. He did see the guy actually do the poke a hole in the garbage bag. In fact, look, whatever you have to do to make the stadium white, you just do what you got to do. And what I talked to several folks who watched the game on television confirmed for me that it translated really well through TV. You could tell how loud it got in that building. And every time the body language of Kevin Jennings and his offensive line would indicate that they were having trouble getting the play calls and hearing one another, the crowd would kick up the decibels to another level. Really one of the all-time great atmospheres and crowd performances in Beaver Stadium history. And again, when I just think about the fact that you only had one shot to do it right the first time and how well Penn State nailed it, it's just awesome.
Hey, Chris, yes, I love the part where you said if they gave any indication. To me, this is an educated, smart crowd. My goodness, whenever Jennings went to his helmet to block the ear holes so he could hear better, that was like him just turning to the crowd and shouting out to them, please make the noise louder for me.
Absolutely. And it was like throwing chum into the shark tank.
It was fantastic to see. Kudos to the fan base for recognizing this so well and responding as they should.
Now, and by the way, not a single fan in my section, not one. And most of the folks around us were the season ticket holders we've become used to watching games with. Nobody sat down the entire game. And to me, that means a lot too. I would stand through every single game if I could. It drives me nuts to sit down at any point during a Penn State football game. And so for the crowd to be so amped up that everybody just understood in the lower bowl, we stand up. Amazing. Awesome.
And Chris, you could feel that energy. Now, those of us who've been going to games for years, you understand that there is an energy level for a whiteout that was equaled or exceeded in this game. It truly was. You could feel that in the stadium. But I also think, one last note. You made me think of it when you talked about the garbage bag. was probably the favorite thing to see was the white garbage bag. My second favorite thing to see, and candidly, I saw this walking out after the game. There were some, I believe they were students. They had their whiteout t-shirt, okay, which they were was designed to be worn alone, not over three layers of winter jackets.
Right.
So here's this size medium t-shirt that's going on over what needed to be a triple X to fit over winter coats, but they somehow managed to squeeze into it. It reminds me of, you know, when you see the football players trying to, you know, squeeze into the jersey, you know, they have it designed that way. The only difference was these were, you know, it was going over the winter coat. So kudos to them for that effort also.
That shirt's going to be stretched. It's going to be threadbare. It's going to look like crap from now until eternity when it falls apart. And for every single one of those kids, that's going to be like Golden Boy on Seinfeld. They will never get rid of it.
And, you know, I want to see them in 20 years at a tailgate wearing that shirt all ratty and telling this story to everybody, especially to youngsters.
Yeah, man. It's
now this whole playoff thing, which is now currently 64 teams. And I know they're talking about making it 68, but in my day, there were 12 teams, young man, and I wore this one, and it was, and the game's getting ready to be played in the newly christened domed Paterno Stadium.
Yeah, sure. The Happy Valley Nittany Lions presented by Penn State World Campus.
All right. I promise I'd talk about the game itself, Chris. And there's always a handful of plays that are big in a game. You can always pick out the 3, 4, 5. And there's some obvious ones, the interception returned for touchdowns, the pick sixes. But I want to point out SMU's first possession. They marched down the field. They have a 4th-and-1. You absolutely, positively have to go for it. My thing is, and this is after watching Indiana and Kurt Cignetti just get so conservative Friday night with his Indiana team as underdogs. Watching this coach now, the call of the game, 4th-and-1, the call he made with his quarterback rolling out, quarterback could have easily walked for a first down, chose to throw the ball because he had a receiver wide open. If he throws, not a great pass, Chris, just an average, respectable pass, SMU's up in the game 7-0. I don't know how much that would have changed the game. Probably would have made it final 38-17 instead of 38-10. Yeah. But if you're an SMU fan, and I spoke to a few of them, you've got to see that play and drive you absolutely crazy.
Yeah, well, it's like everything in life, Jim. Luck factors in. And I think it was, again, to your point, not determinative in the outcome of the game in any way. Probably does take the crowd out of it a little bit. But after having watched Maryland recover a fumble and then immediately score, and then Penn State just go on to boat race them from that point forward, I don't think it would have bothered anybody all that much. But yeah, you're right to point out that play. Definitely gives you a different feel to that first quarter versus the way it went down. And shouts, by the way, to the great Dom DeLuca. Means a lot to me as an Italian American that a fellow Paisan made a huge play in Penn State's first home playoff game on Joe Paterno's birthday. I'm sure the old man was smiling down from upstairs when that happened.
And if I got the opportunity not just to meet Dom, but his family.
Yeah.
And if you knew his parents, and they were raised, he's a Northeast Pennsylvania guy, so not far. Spoke to his dad, and we compared pizza places in Northeast PA that we're both familiar with. Okay. So that's the kind of family that is. And for him, And then Tony Rojas, who has taken a lot of abuse from the fan base in a lot of different ways, his interception return, boy, as soon as he caught the pass, I reminded myself, he says a lot of records running the ball in high school. This was a star high school running back, and I think we saw some of that, Chris.
Yeah. Great vision downfield. And I want to give credit to Abdul Carter for coming in there and kind of doing his best at what he's, you know, I'm sure not naturally inclined to do, which was figuring out how to kind of sort of lay the final block to open that up for Tony. So good for Abdul as well.
But it is in a game that the weather was a factor and Penn State's offense started a bit slow for the defense to pick it up and pick them up. And Chris, what I want to ask you about when we come back, as I always do this, as we get towards the end of the segment, have to take a hard break, is it's interesting. The last game, the offense played so well against Oregon and in the conference championship game, and the defense did not play particularly well. And this was just a reversal of form. I'm going to ask you, Chris, what if we see that kind of top performance from both sides of the ball? We'll talk about that when we come back. With the postseason now coming into focus, excitement is building for a Nittany Lion appearance in the college football playoffs. Now's the time to start thinking of how to make your travel arrangements should the team advance to the playoffs to be held at four major bowl destinations over the New Year's holiday: LA, Phoenix, New Orleans, and Atlanta. Get in on all the playoff action with an all-inclusive bowl game travel package brought to you by State College-based Collegiate Athletic Travel, a national leader in sports fan travel for over 50 years. CAT's air-inclusive packages feature round-trip charter, air transportation from select Pennsylvania cities, deluxe hotel accommodations, airport and game transfers, pre-game meal and entertainment events, as well as game tickets, all under the supervision of CAT's seasoned event staff. Traveling on your own can still get in on the playoff action by selecting a land-only package that includes all features exclusive of air travel. Visit athletictravel.com in the coming days for complete details.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Chris. I'm Jim. It's quarter number three of our show. And Chris, I wrapped up the last segment with just a thought. The offense played so well against Oregon, the defense not so well. Complete turnaround here. The defense was just spectacular. The defense was the ones who put up the first couple touchdowns while the offense struggled a bit to move the ball. And again, partly that was due to the weather. But it was something that I had a conversation with someone a couple weeks ago prior to the conference championship game, which was, you know what? I don't think we've seen the best of this team yet. We haven't seen that complete game. And I think these last two games are an example of what is possible from this team.
Yeah, well, complimentary football, Jim, right? That's been the hallmark throughout the year for Penn State. When one side of the ball struggles, it does seem like the other side recognizes that and elevates their game to pick them up. And this is the time of year that we would love to see both sides clicking on all cylinders. And again, this is only one of four. We got three more games, and it's going to become increasingly important for that to happen for Penn State. So I will take a little complimentary football in the early rounds of the playoff here. Whereas what I'm liking, the first two rounds, what I like to call the glue factory. So we're 50% of the way through that. We're recording this on Zoom, so you're giving me a funny look when I make the glue factory reference.
But I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, yeah, two horse mascots, folks. Just go look it up.
And you know, isn't it, don't you hate it when you have to explain your humor?
No, I mean, I realize, listen, you're going to take swings and sometimes you're just going to miss the ball. You know, it is what it is.
Well, I'll be candid with you. That look I was giving was because I was looking up a stat that I wanted to present to you.
Okay.
So I didn't respond accordingly to your humor as I should have. And where I was headed, Chris, was what was consistent over these last two games has been the running game. And we have, again, Nick Singleton, Catron Allen, 14 carries, 11 carries. We get both of them come up with averaging 6.4 yards per carry. That makes this a different team when the running game is clicking.
For sure. And that was presented as one of the X factors coming into that game because SMU statistically was one of the best run defenses in the country. But I had a strong suspicion coming into the game that not to dip back into strength of schedule arguments about who does and doesn't make the playoffs. If you look at SMU's schedule, they really didn't have an especially impressive win on their resume, and the caliber of competition they were facing. Look, this is a very nice team that they put together with some good athletes and a good front seven, and especially on the defensive line. But I just felt like when you watched Penn State down the stretch here, the way things were coming together, the progress that Nolan Rucci is showing now that he's getting more snaps as the full-time starter, what they did against Oregon, I had a pretty good feeling that Penn State was going to be able to run the ball against the Mustangs defense. But to see the effectiveness with which they did it, and again, finding those opportunities for Nick and Katron to both shine and do what they do well, very encouraging as far as these next, what we hope will be three more games ahead of the Nittany Lions.
Exactly. I think that's going to be a major part of it. And even if we didn't see the best of Drew Aller is a better quarterback when Katron Allen and Nick Singleton are running the ball well.
Yeah, I think there were some jitters for Drew in his first playoff game. I also think we need to remember that the conditions affect both teams. I can't imagine that was particularly pleasant weather to be out there playing football in, especially in the passing game, right? So I don't think that anything I saw from Drew on Saturday gives me any kind of pause or concern going forward.
No, you have to look through it through the prism of, you know, windy, cold, that, well, I think it was most evident you saw in the kicking game. You know, it looked like they were kicking a boulder, right, not a football.
Sure.
And I think it had an effect on, you know, some of the calls. Now, Penn State, early on, they went for a fourth and long when they could have kicked a long field goal. But I think the choice, and at the time, I remember saying, I would go for it because...
Oh, yeah, 100%. That was going to be like kicking a brick from that range, for sure.
Exactly. But it also leads to me wanting to ask you about the other fourth down. Penn State up 14-0.
The conveniently forgotten, mind-bogglingly stupid decision you're talking about, Jim?
Well, let me put it to you this way. I'm the guy who loves the analytics that says, go for it. Okay, I am. I don't think James Franklin goes for it often enough, and I know it's the analytics that tell you to do it. But where analytics needs to stop is when you see you have to also gauge how the rest of the game is going.
Yeah,
you're up 14-0. Everything's in your favor. The only chance for SMU to win this game is for you to turn the ball over or do some stupid things. The risk reward there before the play, Chris, I'm saying, no, you've got to punt this ball. The only chance for SMU to win this game is if you start doing things like giving them the ball on your own 20-yard line.
So you are the analytics go for it all the time guy. Whereas, yes, you know, I tend to fetishize punting and field position and playing good defense.
Yes.
Now, you can say that the rationale for going for it so deep in your own territory on fourth down and short yardage to go is that you're so confident in your defense that you feel like if the offense doesn't get it, the defense will bail you out. Now, I am trying, Jim, to imagine the parallel universe version of myself where that stupid decision, and it was stupid in my opinion, led to a touchdown instead of Dom's second interception of the day. Again, shout out to all Italian Americans out there. Dom, we're so proud of you. Good job. Northeastern Pennsylvania, all good stuff. I would probably be a lot angrier than I am right now because, I mean, you know, you could just say it, whether it was luck or providence, the theory that the defense will bail us out, of course, proved to be correct. So none of us are too hung up on it. You know, it was just sort of like that scene in Major League. you know, nice catch, Hayes. Don't ever effing do it again. Like, that's how I feel about it. Okay. Like, Jimmy, you got away with one. Please don't ever do that ever again.
And again, like I said, I am the guy who says go for it. And I understand the math. I understand the analytics. And I could even stretch as far as to say, Chris, boy, punting the ball is difficult. Your net punt is probably not going to be very good.
Yeah.
So you're probably going to give SMU the ball in decent field position. But there's a big difference between decent field position and giving it to them on your own 20-yard line. Okay?
Yes. So, although, to be fair, the punting was really terrible all day. And I do think that was – now that you brought it up, I hadn't thought about it too much. Obviously, punting was not a major factor in the game. I do think that was one way in which the conditions played a big, big role.
Yes, and I could see it factoring into a decision and, you know, and doing the analytics.
I hadn't really thought about that.
That is one of the pieces to the puzzle. It's like from that point, now in college or the NFL, you expect to gain like 40, 45 yards of however – It's why in like high school football, where you may not have that kind of punter, it makes sense to go for it even more often, because in punting the ball, you're not gaining that many yards. But still, with all that said, I think the risk factor of giving SMU momentum when they had absolutely zero momentum at that point and punting the ball away, I still think you're not giving them any momentum. So,
yeah, I didn't like it.
Yeah, I think that seems to be the universal. But credit James Franklin after the game. If I had the chance to do it again, I would. So double down on it, James. Double down, right?
You know what, though? Better to do that sort of talk after the game when you know you've won than before, and then you get your doors blown off like Kurt Cignetti. I understand you got to be who you are. But I just you mentioning that makes me think about just how ridiculous I thought the amount of smack talk that guy did before playing Notre Dame, who I thought was going to do exactly what they did to Indiana. And now, you know, it was cute and funny when he did it when they signed him. And then all of a sudden they went on a little bit of a run. But then when you get hammered by the only two teams that are considered of any quality on your schedule, maybe next year you just shut your mouth a little bit until you play the game.
Well, that's why I was particularly complimentary of the SMU coach, because I felt, Chris, like he was playing to win the game. And there was a fourth down play that he went for. He wasn't looking to just make the score seem respectable.
No, you're not going to a bowl game after this. This is your season. Take your shots. Absolutely. I agree with that. Absolutely.
And for Cignetti, who had such, as you said, bravado all season and before the game, then to play this game, his play calling in general, but then some of the specifics when, you know, yes, they were well behind, probably had very little chance to win the game, but still a non-zero opportunity to win, and he's punting the ball in the fourth quarter. Go for it. This is your shot. Go, you know, crazy things can happen, and he played to keep it close instead of trying to win the game. So I will give credit to the SMU coach, Chris.
Yes. Yeah, I like Rhett Lashley, actually. I think they've got a good one down there, and they certainly – have the money in that booster base to continue to build that program and attract talent through the transfer portal via NIL. So I don't think this is the last we'll hear of SMU.
No, definitely not. And the last word on this is their largest booster, when he was talking about how they got into the ACC, that somehow it was costing them essentially $200 million. I'm not going to worry about $200 million, Chris. That was their response. Nice if you got it. All right, when we come back, let's talk about what goes on going forward. We'll do that when we come back. With the postseason now coming into focus, excitement is building for a Nittany Lion appearance in the college football playoffs. Now's the time to start thinking of how to make your travel arrangements should the team advance to the playoffs to be held at four major bowl destinations over the New Year's holiday: LA, Phoenix, New Orleans, and Atlanta. Get in on all the playoff action with an all-inclusive bowl game travel package brought to you by State College-based Collegiate Athletic Travel, a national leader in sports fan travel for over 50 years. CAT's air-inclusive packages feature round-trip charter, air transportation from select Pennsylvania cities, deluxe hotel accommodations, airport and game transfers, pregame meal and entertainment events, as well as game tickets, all under the supervision of CAT's seasoned event staff. Traveling on your own can still get in on the playoff action by selecting a land-only package that includes all features exclusive of air travel. Visit athletictravel.com in the coming days for complete details.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter four. He's Chris. I'm Jim. Chris, just to take care of a couple things before I forget, this is Christmas week. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to everybody. Happy Hanukkah. I guess that's this week also. But we are going to do something we don't do very often. We're going to take off a couple shows this week. It's Christmas week, so we're not going to have a show out for Tuesday, Christmas Eve, Wednesday, Christmas Day. We will be back on Thursday and Friday, though, all right? So just so you know, there are no problems. I don't want to start getting those text messages and emails saying, hey, I can't find the show on Wednesday. We're off. All right. That's taken care of. Chris, advancement to the Elite Eight. Am I allowed to say that?
Sure. Yeah. Go for it.
All right. Why not? The first round of games, all the home teams won. I think, first of all, I know a lot of people want to crucify the committee for their choices. I think the biggest variable was just home field advantage is real. And the teams that were the higher seeds were the better teams, and they got to play at home. It's tough to win on the road in college football.
Well, and if we're going to talk about preserving the sanctity of the regular season, it's got to mean something. You know, as I said to you, I think a couple of weeks ago when all of this controversy was swirling around the bracket right after it came out, if you don't believe that the ACC and the Big 12 are good enough to be part of the college football playoff, then kick them out. Don't maintain the pretense that they're equally eligible for these positions as SEC and Big Ten schools, and then cry and moan when a team goes 11-1 and gets into the playoffs, and one that goes 9-3 and loses to two 500 teams, one very badly, to a terrible Oklahoma team in Alabama, and you don't get it. It's like, you know, what do you want? You kick them out if you don't want them in there. But don't pretend like they're eligible and then say, oh, but they're actually on double secret probation and they can never actually get in. So, yeah, well, no, the wins and losses in the regular season has got to mean something.
I got some texts sent to me and some conversation about, see, Alabama would not have gotten blown out like SMU did. Remind me again how many touchdowns Alabama scored.
Yeah, if we're basing this whole thing on, you know, whatever, team, the DraftKings and FanDuel, how they would rate them on a neutral field, or how hypothetically one team would play another, hypothetically, Oklahoma would never, ever, ever in a million years hold Alabama to 3 points. Oklahoma stinks.
Exactly. And you know what? That was late in the season. Late enough that Alabama is aware they can't lose that game and make the playoffs, okay? Correct. They knew they were playing for their playoff life there, and they blew it. They just lost. They got blown out. So I don't. At that point, Alabama lost any chance to be in the playoffs, as far as I was concerned. Now, let's move forward though and talk about this Elite Eight and some of the teams in it. First of all, if you watch just that first quarter of Ohio State and Tennessee, Ohio State looked like the best team in the country, Chris. And I think all of us said going into that game, it was, which Ohio State are you going to get? Are you going to get the team that's maybe the most talented in the country, or the team that looked like a beaten puppy when they lost to Michigan? Well, guess what? Which one we saw? We're going to now get this great rematch, Ohio State, Oregon. So now in this playoffs, we're getting Ohio State, Oregon, and Georgia, Notre Dame.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. And I think going all the way back to August, I said, if I had an AP ballot, I would have voted Ohio State my preseason number one. I've been pretty consistent all year long in saying that I think they're the most talented team in college football. I don't know that they've always played like it. In fact, I know they haven't, but they did this past weekend versus Tennessee. And Tennessee, man, looked like crap. I was disappointed by the effort from that team. I really bought in, not that they were necessarily a legitimate national championship contender. I felt like they were a team that if they got on a heater, they had enough talent to make noise in the postseason. You know, anyone in a group of probably a maximum of 6 to 8 teams could make a run at it. But, man, I thought they were better than what they showed against Ohio State. That was just pathetic. I don't care if they had 70,000 fans in that stadium.
Embarrassing. And I think that is the counterpoint to, gee, all 12 teams should have been from the Southeast Conference. You know, there was what there was one of your top teams, and you saw what they did. If that argument was, hey, a Southeast Conference team could come up and, you know, kick the butt of the Big Ten team. Well, I guess not. The game I was impressed with and was Clemson, what they did versus Texas. They really represented themselves very well. And, Chris, that's a game that turned on a couple plays also.
Yeah, Clemson's been a tough team to get a read on this season, I feel like. I liked them coming into the year. I thought that they would have a bounce-back season. And maybe they did. I don't know. You would have to ask a Clemson fan whether or not, having come from the heights of playing for and winning national championships that they were at just a few years ago, that this year qualifies, whether or not it qualifies as a bounce back year, really. From my outsider's perspective, I would still say it did. They won the ACC. They played in the college football playoffs. But yet many times you'd watch them. You'd sit down and watch a Clemson game. They just didn't look that impressive. If I'm a Texas fan, I think I'm just starting to get a little bit nervous about the propensity that that team has shown, given its overall talent level, to not be able to slam the door on teams that it is clearly better than. And you think about them not being able to take advantage of Carson Beck getting injured in the SEC championship game. Texas has a lot of talent. I would be a little nervous about that. Clemson is limited. Okay. And ultimately, in front of their home crowd, they were able to leverage that and win the game. Everyone left in front of them is going to be a lot more challenging. So, yeah, if I were a Longhorns fan, I'd be a little uneasy about the way that game went.
Well, it's interesting. In the other two games that I mentioned, Ohio State, Oregon, Ohio State is an early 2.5-point favorite. Georgia, 1.5-point favorite against Notre Dame. Those two games, I think, we're looking at being very competitive. The other two, Penn State, Boise State, Texas, Arizona State, this is where I think people who are critical, and it's not the committee, it was the rules, where Boise State and Arizona State got the byes. Both Penn State and Texas are double-digit favorites in those games. My first question, Chris, is Penn State an 11-point favorite over Boise State. Does that surprise you at all?
No, not at all. If you looked at the websites that were kind of predicting the potential spreads for the possible second round matchups, everyone had Penn State as a double digit favorite that I saw. So no, that doesn't surprise me too much.
What surprised me about it was that Penn State at home against SMU was a smaller favorite than on a neutral field against Boise State.
I think Vegas just felt like SMU had more talent. And the Mustangs looked impressive, kind of like Indiana, right? You don't control who you play. You got to win your games. For the most part, they looked impressive in their wins. And then you could go back, and if you kind of squinted a little bit and rubbed a little Vaseline on the camera lens, you could look at that loss up by, I think, 3 points to BYU and say, oh, man, that's a close game early in the season to a team that finished the year ranked. You could talk yourself into SMU as maybe not a great team, but a pretty good one. There's just, I don't think, a ton of respect for the Mountain West Conference as it's even its best team being able to hang with the best in the nation.
Okay, and Texas, a 13.5-point favorite over Arizona State. Think that's legit?
Probably over 4 quarters. I'm a big talent, will out guy in college football. I think depth just makes so much of a difference. I've been harping on that all year, that I think depth is the key differentiator for this current run Penn State has been on since winning the Rose Bowl in 2022, as you contrast it with the 2016 to 2019 time period, where you had good top-level talent. The guys who were 2 and 3 in the depth chart, maybe just not where you needed them to be in terms of competing at the very highest level and not losing games you shouldn't. I think that probably plays out over time. I've only gotten to watch Arizona State a couple of times. I like Scadaboo a lot. I mean, it's hard not to. I do think they are better than maybe people realize, and they do just seem to be on a little bit of a magical run here. But again, when push comes to shove in college football, it's about acquisition of talent, and Texas does have way more and way greater depth, which I just think is so important, especially as we're stacking the number of games these kids are being asked to play.
Well, I like to compare this tournament to the March Madness, the basketball tournament, and I think what's similar is we like the Cinderella stories early.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get to the Final Four, you want the Blue Bloods.
Yeah, well, there's really only one glaring Cinderella story possibility in this round, and I do not want it at all. Both teams are undefeated in the Fiesta Bowl, and I want Penn State coming out of New Year's Eve unblemished with an 8-0 record in Tempe. Well,
I know we'll get a chance next week to talk about the game more, but just real quick, Ashton Gentry, Heisman Trophy runner-up. Am I stating the obvious? You stop him, you stop Boise State?
Correct. Yeah, I mean, sometimes you don't have to be a genius to do this analysis, which is great news for the both of us, Jim. But yeah, that's it.
All right. Well, as the final note of the show, Chris, you take a shot at ourselves. Very good. I like to be humbled occasionally. But, Chris, I want to take the opportunity to wish you a very Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays.
Likewise.
To our loyal listeners. Thank you so much for being there for us. We won't be around on Christmas Day. We will be back later in the week. I hope you will join us then, and hopefully you will have a fantastic Christmas season.
Women's volleyball national champs, baby. Woo!
All right. That's always a good thing. We'll see you next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
With the postseason now coming into focus, excitement is building for a Nittany Lion appearance in the college football playoffs. Now's the time to start thinking of how to make your travel arrangements should the team advance to the playoffs to be held at 4 major bowl destinations over the New Year's holiday: LA, Phoenix, New Orleans, and Atlanta. Get in on all the playoff action with an all-inclusive bowl game travel package brought to you by State College-based Collegiate Athletic Travel, a national leader in sports fan travel for over 50 years. CAT's air-inclusive packages feature round-trip charter, air transportation from select Pennsylvania cities, deluxe hotel accommodations, airport and game transfers, pre-game meal and entertainment events, as well as game tickets, all under the supervision of CAT's seasoned event staff. Traveling on your own can still get in on the playoff action by selecting a land-only package that includes all features exclusive of air travel. Visit athletictravel.com in the coming days for complete details.